If neither of these methods proved to be successful, then a governor who reported directly to the Assyrian king was sent. In the Neo-Assyrian era, eunuchs were often selected for high military or political offices in the belief that since they would have no sons to promote, as a result, they would be more loyal to the king. This policy didn't usually work out the way the Assyrian king wanted, so there was a constant shift between these different methods of control that the Assyrian ruler might impose. Another way to try and control the power of local rulers or governors was to limit the resources available to them. Both Tiglath-Pileser and Sargon reduced the size of the individual provinces, creating smaller regions that would check the rise of provincial governors or other officials, such as generals assigned to the area, who might be interested in instigating a revolt. At the same time, it was necessary to support the provincial leaders. Each province had a residence, and those that have been discovered, there's only about two or three, but these reveal a similar decoration to that of the royal palaces. These provincial residences would be suitable for the king to stay in if he was visiting the area, and it would also reinforce the same themes that were present in the capital throughout the empire. Provincial leaders were supposed to supply the king with tribute, troops, either when he needed them or to control the province itself, and also to maintain roads. For example, the roads that thousands of deportees traveled throughout the empire. We'll talk about them shortly. When necessary, the governor also had to provide labor for the king's building projects. These were usually local projects, not necessarily the royal residences that were being built at this time. And those resources, labor resources, were commanded by the king himself. We tend to pay more attention to the gruesome details of the Assyrian destruction of cities than to their building projects, but the Assyrians did quite a bit of building. Assyrian architecture is found in city gates and walls in Palestine, for example. The Assyrian method of fortification required a system of double gates, and so this indicates to us that it was an Assyrian construction project rather than a local project. The governor would make sure that the workforce necessary for these projects would be supplied. A road system was created for correspondence between the king and his administrators or his generals. The maintenance of these roads was another responsibility of provincial governors. We know more about the road system under the Persian Empire, and we'll talk about that in a few lectures, but it was established, the basic structure of a road system connecting a king with his provinces was established during the Assyrian period. The Assyrian royal road had stations placed every 20 miles, and these would be constantly supplied with fresh horses and other supplies necessary for a quick communication system. These way stations were exclusively, the resources at the way stations were exclusively for official couriers, and they kept the king in contact with governors, generals, anyone else that he needed to communicate with in order to ensure the smooth running of his empire. The governors were responsible for supplying these way stations as well as maintaining the roads. We have about 1,300 texts from Sargon's reign. Sargon was the successor of Tiglath-Pileser. And this is one of the latest large archives that we'll discuss, because the Assyrians and the succeeding powers switched to the Aramaic language in the 7th century BC.